Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Dan Madigan in for Baskin in Phelps today. I will be here for the next 4 hours on 92.3 The Fan. Filling in for the gentleman. Afternoon Drive will come in after me. We have a show planned for you. I'm not going to promise you if it's good. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be bad. Really, we aim for mediocrity, and some days we get there. So, Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Point Dealer is going to join us at 11. Brian Anderson, the best friend of the show, race color analyst, he will join us at noon. Of course, Clevelander on top of that one, former Indians pitcher. And the legend Tim May, 1 o'clock. Talk a little bit more Buckeyes, talk a little bit more college playoff. Now that we have the final four teams along the way, all sorts of good stuff. Mackenzie Flume will be answering your calls. She'll hop on 2020s in a little bit as well. And the always wonderful Meredith Kane running board for us and doing 2020s in the early part of it as well. We will do the best we can to get you ready for a ho-hum football weekend. I think that's kind of the best way to put it. I think that is the true feelings of week 18 through pretty much everybody who isn't jostling for some kind of playoff spot. And this year, more than any year, it's really felt like we already know what's going on. We already know who's going to make it. We already know who's in. It's not like there's a whole bunch of unknowns in between all of this. It's kind of just like, okay, can this person find their way there? Or can this team find their way there? Can this team find their way there? It's a very ho-hum weekend, but the Browns, 4:30. Saturday, ESPN, lock it in. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers versus Bailey Zappe. That's right. For those of you who missed it, against Bailey Zappe. I don't even have words. The problem is I don't even have feelings to go with the words on Bailey Zappe starting it. I read this yesterday and my exact thought was, sure. Why not? You know, I know some people got up in arms about Kevin Stefanski coming out and basically saying, like, well, you know, I got to talk to them first, and then I got to talk to the team, and then all of an hour later, our buddy Tom Withers had that Bailey Zappe was starting, which, by the way, what a wonderful way for Tom Withers to go out the door. They did a wonderful job handing him the jersey and all that kind of stuff. If you missed those, you can find those pictures on the artist formerly known as Twitter, and you can give a look to that one and see that, but the best thing was that Todd breaks, at least from what I saw, Todd breaks the news of Bailey Zappe. It's like, good gravy. If that isn't a microcosm of this season, I give up. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've done it. I'm proud of all of you. We've made it this far. He is quarterback 40 on the jersey since 1999. I know a lot of you were wondering who quarterback 40 was going to be. Would it maybe be Kirk Cousins? Would it possibly be Sam Darnold? Is there a chance it was Derek Carr? No. Bailey Zappe. That's the answer. I feel like we've all earned a nap after hearing that Bailey Zappe was a starter. So Let's dig into this since he is the Browns starting quarterback. He played in 10 games last season. He started six of them. He was 127 of 212 for 59.9%. Six touchdowns, nine interceptions for the Patriots last season. He had a quarterback rating of 68.7. He had a QBR of 23.3. His average depth of target was 8.1. That was 22nd in the league. So not horrible, but he will check the ball down. He feels comfortable doing that. He pushed it a little bit more the season before then, but you know, is some of that offensive base with Bill Belichick and what they wanted to do? Sure, that could easily be the case. We'll see what he looks like here. I look at this move as like, frankly, why the hell not? I mean, I'd love to give you a deeper understanding. I'd love to give you a deeper thought. It's very much why the hell not. You know, let's just throw it out. Let's see if there's anything here. I think he is, Zach Jackson had it in his piece this morning that he is the first quarterback that was ever in the press box at one point this season to have to turn around and play quarterback. Because if I don't know how many of you were paying attention for that Broncos game, they had to make a roster move to bring in, I think it was Sam Kamara, but don't hold me to that name. But they had to make a roster move to bring in a defensive tackle. So they cut Bailey Zappe and then re-signed him a few days later. So Bailey Zappe, I guess, watched that game from the press box. So we got that going for us. You know, first quarterback to ever watch a football game from a press box and then play in the same season. You know, that's something. It just stinks. It once again stinks that we're here. It once again stinks that this season is sitting at 3-13. And we're looking around as you're getting a 19.5 point spread on pretty much every gambling website with this game. The largest point spread we have seen in a very long time in the NFL. And I would love to sit here and give you some kind of analysis. I would love to give you something to look at when it comes to bringing in Bailey Zappe and what it would do for an offense and how it would fix it or anything like that. There's just none. There's no analysis. There's no deep thought. There's no 3D chess. There's nothing like that that's being played. They're not smarter than you than this one. This is just, meh, why not? We got nothing to lose. We could roll DTR out there again, and he could throw more interceptions. We'll probably see a package with DTR out there as well. I think it's just we're going to go through it, and we're going to basically flip over every rock, overturn every stone, and hope that maybe they catch lightning in a bottle with Bailey Zappe for a game. I got nothing. I got nothing, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I will never understand for the life of me, outside of he was going to win too many games and we can't do that, why they even moved on from Jameis to begin with. I would have left him out there, and it's just because it was watchable offense. I could at least, with Jameis Winston, I could at least look out at everybody on the field and go, all right, these offensive linemen are blocking at a decent enough level. Jerry Jeudy looks like he is a keeper of a wide receiver who has a lot of untapped potential, and maybe you could tap a little bit more into that and turn him into a wide receiver one. Right now, he looks like a pretty darn good wide receiver two, and I'm willing to take that. A wide receiver, if you would prefer. Jerry Jeudy looks like that kind of guy. Decent route runner, good speed to him, all of that kind of stuff. Great. Elijah Moore looked like a plausible wide receiver in the NFL with Jameis Winston there. Not great, not anything like that, but a plausible, workable wide receiver in the NFL. Now he is, I don't even know if he's on the field a lot of times that he's there. And he catches a ball and I go, oh, Elijah Moore. All right, good to see you again. I thought you were on the milk carton for a little bit. Cool, good to see. I never understood for the life of me why they moved on from it. And now you've just yanked so many ripcords, and maybe it's a shoulder injury, but now you've yanked so many ripcords that you're at the Bailey Zappe portion of the season. And you're going to put this on primetime on the AFC North Hard Knocks, you know, weekend, essentially, so that we could get this bad boy done and spit it out for HBO to the weekend to come. And we'll see. And I don't know. I'd love to get you pumped for this. I'd love to find a way to say, hey, you got to tune in because you got to watch A, B, C, and D. I don't have it. I don't have it. I have no feel for this. I feel like we've all turned the page to the offseason. I feel like ESPN has turned the page to the offseason of the Cleveland Browns. I feel like everybody has turned the page to the offseason. And that week 7-18 is just kind of like, okay, let's just get it done. Let's get it done. Let's send this thing to Estonia and play it at 9 a.m. and everybody would be happier. You know, like that's kind of what it feels like. It's just what we're looking at right now. And it stinks. It stinks that we're here. And it stinks that this is the direction that this has to go. And it stinks that you've got Myles Garrett saying, hey, what's the plan here? And ever since he came out saying, what's the plan here, you've had Dorian Thompson-Robinson and you've had Bailey Zappe. Like, ever since Joel Bitonio walked out and said, yeah, I'm debating retirement until I get some kind of a plan, it was, okay, good to hear. Here's DTR and Bailey Zappe. Like, I hope they have something. I hope they have some kind of plan together. I hope what has been thrown about from various places, including Jeremy Fowler and his piece in ESPN that we're still dissecting and digesting and everything else, and when he hopped on with us, I hope that there is something in place. Because right now, for Week 18, I got nothing. I have nothing that is in place. I have nothing that I am looking at and saying, okay, this is what I can look forward to. This is what I can scout. This is how I can sell this without an ounce of sarcasm. Because I'm sure we could do it, folks. I'm sure we could look at this roster, and I'm sure we could talk ourselves into, you know, the Briggs kid who's been playing really, really well from defensive tackle. And I'm sure we could say, all right, Isaiah McGuire could get a few more reps, and maybe you got something there. And I'm sure we could all sit back and talk ourselves into this. I am 100% sure that we could do this. I just don't see the point. And it's really sad that we are in a position of an NFL team and an NFL franchise that came into this season with above 500 aspirations. I know a lot of us were screaming playoffs. I know a lesser degree were screaming AFC Championship, and I know an even lesser degree were screaming Super Bowl. But if you picked up, if you looked at any gambling website, you looked at the prognosticators, anything like that, the number that would come back to you was 8.5. 8.5, 8.5, 8.5. And so, you know, maybe have a shot, maybe not have a shot, whatever. But we never thought that it was going to go this direction. I don't think anybody thought that, even if you were a Deshaun Watson skeptic who was like, ah, I just don't think he has it. I didn't think the rest of this offense would completely crater in the way that it has. I didn't think that this offense would become as bad as it did, and that the defense would take a half a step back. I think it's a pretty good way to put it. Probably took about a half step back. I just never thought that we'd be in this position. And it continues to baffle me that the wheels fell off of this thing in such a way. It continues to absolutely break my brain how Kevin Stefanski seemed to lose his identity as a play caller and a coach inside of this season. It continued to baffle me how this whole thing, the defensive side of the ball, going, hey, let's bring the gang back. And then the gang came back, and the gang took a half step back. And it just baffled me the whole way through. Because typically in year two of a defensive coordinator, you don't take a half step back. Typically in year two as a defensive coordinator, you figure out different ways to go. You learn your, you know, to use the pitching analogy, or the way that it's always been explained to me that has made sense in my brain. You learn to change up off the fastball. You learn the slider off the fastball. You get your fastball down in year one, and then after that comes all the fun stuff you can do to play with tendencies. All the fun stuff that you can do to make teams not be able to identify what you are doing because you have such a grasp of the foundation of what an offensive system is going to be. Typically, you take another step forward. You don't typically take a half step back. Now, some of that offensive base? Yeah, absolutely. An inept offense makes it very, very hard for a defense to play at a top-tier level because they're on the field a bunch. It just stinks. It stinks that we're here. It stinks that we've all wanted to turn our page to the offseason. It stinks that a lot of us are having draft conversations with our friends. It just all stinks. So, folks, that's where we are. I'd love to say it differently. I'd love to throw it out there. I'd love to try to feel better about this whole thing. I just don't have it. I just don't have it in me. I don't have a direction that I can look to and say, hey, this is where things are going to get better. This is where week 18 could prove something. These are the guys that could prove something on week 18 and make everything better and at least give you some hope moving forward into the offseason. I just don't have it. Until new blood finds its way in here, I don't have it. I don't have that hope. I don't have that spark. I don't have that understanding. Until something changes. So 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter. If you so desire. I mean, why are we watching this week? Because I'm having a hard time finding it. It sure as heck isn't Bailey Zappe. It's a lot of guys are banged up. They're sitting out David Njoku. They're sitting out Denzel Ward. Miles Garrett might get another sack or two of Lamar Jackson. Hey, that'll make me feel good. I got that going for me. But why are we watching? Or have we all just turned the page and are reading the giant Mike Vrabel pieces that are coming out of The Athletic this morning and are reading the Jeremy Fowler piece in ESPN? And have we all just turned the page to the offseason? Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92 The Fan. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan is what you got it locked into right here. Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com and a plane dealer is going to join us at 11 o'clock to get the latest on the Browns leading into the Saturday game at 4:30. All right, I got that all off my chest. I feel better. I needed to get all the anger and grumpiness out of me. All right, I got it all out. I feel better. I'm happy. And I think as a show, after getting the week 18, what are we all doing here out of our system, I think we should do the best thing that the Cleveland Browns can do outside of recommending the NFL a running clock for Sunday. And that's turn the page to the offseason. And so that's what we're going to do. We're turning the page. All right. So we had Jeremy Fowler on yesterday. He was on the program here. He had a lot to say about a lot of things. If you have not read his piece on ESPN yet with Daniel Ifusi helping along the way, give that a read on the Cleveland Browns for 2025 and beyond. And this season was a trying one for a lot of different reasons. And right now this team is at a crossroads. And it's not just Miles Garrett saying, hey, kids, what's the plan here? And it's not just Denzel Ward following up by going, hey, if you're going to give him the plan, can I see it too? And Joel Bitonio going, hey, if those two see it, I'd really, really appreciate it if you'd let me take a look at that too. And the entire fan base also go, well, if you're going to give it to those three, if you could just like put it on a billboard somewhere so that we could all read it together, I would really appreciate that on top of it. And so we tried to get some kind of a plan and at least talk to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who has spoke to a whole lot of people, including Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, Joel Bitonio, and many people inside of that organization to figure out what kind of plan we have in the future. And so yesterday we asked about the offense. We were saying, look, the defensive side of it, we partially think, okay, maybe get a little bit more blood in there, move on from a couple of guys who are a little on the older side. And then let's get some fresh blood in, and maybe that can help to kind of fix it. The offense is going to take a little bit more. And so they had issues all offseason long. We asked Jeremy about that. He had this to say when it came to the offensive issues.
What struck me talking to some coaches that have been with Stefanski, people that have been on his staff before, when the change was made, they were pretty confused by that. It had nothing to do with Ken Dorsey, and I think everybody knew why they made it, is because some of Dorsey's calling cards of spreading it out, some RPOs, some no-huddle stuff, calling cards of Deshaun in Houston. So you kind of have to try to maximize Deshaun Watson. I think that was the goal this year, whether it was supporting him in the quarterback room with the right pieces around him, the system to help him. At the same time, I think it was a challenge. Even talking to Joel Bitonio, he was like, look, we were running Dorsey's passing game with some of Stefanski's principles, and then we had a new assistant offensive line coach that came from the Eagles. We were implementing pieces on that. It was a big collage of offense that they were trying to make work with a quarterback who had confidence issues. It was just a hard task for everybody to accomplish, and I think that showed a little bit.
Right. So it kind of looked like too many cooks in the kitchen at one point. We were kind of watching all that was taking place, and it kind of had that feel of, are there too many cooks in the kitchen? Are there too many ideas being thrown about all over the place, and are we trying to take everything that's good and put it together? You know, sometimes in life you go in somewhere and you wonder, okay, do I order the appetizer sampler platter because I want to try all these things, or do I find myself ordering an entree? And sometimes, most of the time, you're better off ordering an entree than the sampler platter. And it felt like this year they walked in and tried to do the appetizer sampler platter as a meal. And it was like, okay, let's take a little bit of, you know, we'll get some mozzarella sticks. Here's some chicken wings. Let's get a couple ribs in there as well. Hey, how about a little bit of spinach artichoke dip? Hey, what if we did this? And it just was a disaster zone. It was too many languages, too many philosophies, too many ideas. And it's almost one of those where it's like the premises, when you wrote it out on paper, made a whole lot of sense of what you were about to try to execute. But then the actual execution went in a direction that was just a mess, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And when you start reading things like Mike Vrabel was the de facto offensive line coach, which Ian Rappaport had about a week ago, and you were like, okay, that's probably a problem. You know, and you start kind of reading all of these different things that were taking place here, it just showed you how much of a mess it was this season. And so I like what they did to start with. I like the idea of like, hey, let's get a little bit more run pass option in here. Let's get a little bit more, let's get more motion into the offense. I've never understood why Kevin Stefanski has been against motion in the offense. Again, all I mean when I say motion is the idea, like you see before these plays, where a running back will move from one side to the other. You'll see a wide receiver go from one side of the formation to another. You'll see maybe a little orbit motion where they go around the quarterback and find their way back. And all that does, all that moving around and all that kind of stuff does, is it allows the quarterback to see what the defense is doing. And by that I mean, are they in man? Are they in zone? Are they passing off guys to other guys? Are they moving with that particular receiver who is moving? It's to give the quarterback easy reads and tells. It's to make life easier. And I've never understood in a Stefanski system why we didn't have more of that. I'm all for giving answers to quarterbacks as easy as possible. I am all for simplifying what's in front of them, especially as things get more complex. And I thought with having Ken Dorsey in here, you'd get a little bit more of that run-pass option, and you'd get motion. And you would get answers to the equation in front of you. And he kind of did. You saw a decent amount of that. You saw it go in the right direction. But then it just went to squat. And there's a lot of things that went that direction. You know, it just seemed like the entire offense proceeded to crater on that one. And a lot of people seem to be pointing at Ken Dorsey. And a lot of people are wondering, like, okay, with bringing in this offense and bringing in this philosophy that was completely different, mostly different from what Kevin Stefanski was doing through the majority of his career. A little bit more under center, a little bit more heavy emphasis on the run game, a little bit more of that stuff. We asked Jeremy Fowler about Ken Dorsey. We asked Jeremy Fowler about which direction this was going to go and if maybe we would not see him here next year. He had this to say.
I can really only try to piece that together with what I know. I know that Kevin and Ken have worked really well together. That has not been an issue at all, as far as, you know, them being able to get the offense ready every week. And Kevin has a lot of respect for Ken. And look, that when he started calling plays, Jameis was playing well. And they were sort of, you know, talking to other teams. I said that Ken was doing a good job of, you know, giving the quarterback half the field to read and giving him some clearly defined throws. So all that was good. For me, it's a matter of, when it comes to his future, I know some people around the league you talk to are sort of openly wondering, okay, whether the quarterback's Deshaun or if it's a veteran or if it's a draft pick, will Kevin lean more into his original system and plan, which was part of the surprise of Alex Van Pelt. He was sort of an extension of Kevin in that offense. So does he lean more into that or does he lean more into Ken or does he try to pull off both, which was a blend of two? So I think that's a decision that the Browns will have to make. I don't know what that means for Ken Dorsey. I think on the surface, they feel like he's done a good job, but it's more just the reality of that circumstance I laid out, which could sort of inform what direction they go.
So there's a lot to dissect in there. And a lot of the realities of the NFL fall into that as well, which is somebody's got to take the blame. Somebody's got to take the blame for what happens. If there is no blame to be passed around, if no one is going to take the blame for the offense of this season, then your fan base is going to lose interest. And they're just going to be grumpy. And there's going to be no excitement for what is to come. You will always have a segment of the fan base that's going to be overjoyed because football is back and football is wonderful and yay football. But you're going to have a group of fans who are going to look at this and go, it stunk last year. It was a mess on offense. The penalties were horrible. The offensive line play is not where it needed to be. The wide receivers looked like they didn't belong in the NFL until Jameis Winston showed up. The run game was lack thereof. And you're just going to run it back? I mean, something's got to give here. And I think this is one of those moments where the concept that they were going for made sense. And the philosophy made sense. And it was the execution that bit them. And so, to me, Ken Dorsey will be the one who will not be here. I do not want Ken Dorsey back. I do not want to see his pass-happy offense. I don't want to see any bit of that. I'm good. Now, what I do want to see is some of the things that he brought here to continue to stay here, such as pre-snap motion. If you want the perfect blend of what this looked like and what I want to see, watch the San Francisco 49ers from this year and last year. They were able to run spread concepts with Brock Purdy with pre-snap motion to give him easy defined reads while still being able to run and do the things that makes a Kyle Shanahan offense hum. This can work. Watch the Green Bay Packers this weekend as they take on the Bears. There are spread concepts that are in there along with various run schemes that are very Shanahan and philosophy heavy. This can work. Watch the Rams this week with Sean McVay. He has been able to take what Matthew Stafford has wanted to do with spreading it out and flinging it all over the place while still having relatively decent terminology, motion in their terminology that can easily be used to everybody there and run the ball in between. Not as explosively as the other two teams that we mentioned, but still able to run the ball decently. This can work. Cliff Kingsbury has figured out a various way to do this with a rookie quarterback. Now, they are way more spread-oriented. They are way old-school air raid offense compared to what a lot of these other teams can do, but they have figured out a way to have a decent run game on top of that. This can work. That's what I want out of this. These two worlds can't combine. We have seen it happen. We have seen how this works. You can live in the under-center Shanahan play-action Kubiak system while still having spread concepts and motions. This can work. I just wonder if the guy that they brought in to do it was the wrong guy. And that if the guy that they brought in to do it in Ken Dorsey was somebody who was very set in his ways of like, nope, we're going to throw to then run. And then maybe we'll throw again. And I know there was a game where he had somebody had 20 attempts running. Delightful. Congratulations, you did it once. Like, it feels like the equivalent of when your child voluntarily eats their broccoli once, and you're like, oh, we've done it. We've solved the vegetable conundrum. We've done it. Look at us go. And then they sit down the next meal and go, nope. And then you're there for an hour and a half. This has to change. It has to get better. And I think it can. And I think it's pretty straightforward exactly what this looks like. And I think it's pretty straightforward how this goes. That you can live in with one leg in these two worlds in a modern offense and make it click. And I think Kevin Stefanski is the kind of guy that can do it. I think he is smart enough to do it. I don't think he's stubborn. I really don't. I think the guy is open. It's one of my favorite things about him is that he is open to conversation. He's open to philosophies. And he's open to change. I think you can live in this world of a modern offense where you have the heavy play action stuff. You have a run first offensive scheme. And you can live in a spread world on top of it. You can have your cake and eat it too if you so desire the cliche. The question I have is the direction that it all goes. And the question I have is what this whole thing looks like in the offseason. And if this is enough of a plan that I can head to Myles Garrett, and I can head to Joel Bitonio, and I can head to Denzel Ward, and I can head to the fan base, and I can go, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. This is the world that I'm living in. And so, folks, I throw it out to you, 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter. I'm turning the page. It's 2025. 2024 is over. That season is over. I know we have one more game, but it's Bailey Zappe. Come on now. What are you doing to fix the Browns next season? I've laid out my plan. I've got a couple other elements for you next. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11. We'll ask her the same thing. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan is what you got it locked into right here. We will talk with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. She will join us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll talk to our the best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, at high noon today, 1 o'clock. Our buddy Tim May to talk all college football playoff. Keep on enjoying the absolute thrashing that took place in Pasadena, the Buckeyes as well. Tim was there. It'll be great to hear from the scene and all of everything that took place from Tim. It's going to be outstanding. I'm already excited to talk to Tim at 1 and get into the depths of the college football. We'll make some New Year's resolutions for our three major sports teams, maybe for ourselves as well. And I don't know. It might be just the holidays. It might be just life in general. But I got some complaints and grievances, and we're going to get a few of those out today as well. I feel like it's better to just air them, get them out of the way, and we'll move on from there. I know we missed Festivus, but, you know, sometimes in life, it's better to have your holiday get-togethers a little bit after the holiday, because then that way you can let the dust settle and then really dig into the problems. Like we're doing right now with the Browns. We have turned the page at 2024. We are done. We are into 2025. We are into the 2025 offseason. We are trying to figure out how this team can get better. We are trying to figure out the direction that this team can go. I have said in the previous segment, and I stand behind it, I think the concept of bringing in Ken Dorsey, spread offense, those kind of systems, those thoughts, I think the concept is great. I think the idea was good. The execution is what ended up getting us in trouble. And I think the way that this all ended up going was in trouble. And so I think this offseason, I hope the Browns look at this and they look around the league and they look at the other coaches that are able to succeed while bringing in spread concepts with also going with the old school Shanahan Kubiak offense. And I think they are going to be able to make this work. But somebody's going to have to take the blame. And I believe that somebody is going to be Ken Dorsey, and I believe that is the right somebody to be having that kind of blame. I think you will see a new offensive line coach in here as well. I have a feeling that's going to solve itself. Again, when you have national reporters going, yeah, your consultant was the de facto offensive line coach, kind of a problem. It typically ends up with people no longer being employed. And so that's where we are. And so I'm wondering, how do you fix this thing? You got any ideas that are out there of how we can fix this? Because I'm open, and there are no bad ideas in a brainstorm. Again, I will not run anyone at any point unless you're rude. That's pretty much the only thing I ask. It's just don't be rude. Bill and Parma, welcome to the show, man.
Dan, Happy New Year.
And a very Happy New Year to you as well.
Hey, always enjoy your thoughts and insight into things. You know me, I'm going to make a statement, and I just want your thoughts on it more than anything.
Of course.
If we really put the question out there that I think all Browns fans are concerned, afraid of, is that we're just trying to become average. Because look at what's ahead of us. You mean to tell us that in the next 10 years, and that's how long Mahomes is going to be around, that's how long Allen is going to be around, Herbert, Burrow, and by then a couple more, that we're going to be better than these guys, that in the next 10 years that we're going to field a team with a quarterback that has the ability on a consistent basis. Because, you know, Allen hasn't had he hasn't gone to the line in the, on the food line to get into the Super Bowl yet. And he's eager. And so for the next 5-6 years, Allen, he wants as much to eat as anybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Josh Allen's probably going to win the MVP this year, and if his defense would hold together, you'd feel really good about them finding their way to the Super Bowl. But the spine of that defense is banged up.
Well, I maintain that just as in the NBA, that statistics don't mean anything. Because I think this year, Mahomes had his best year ever without any really wide receivers, with a real poor line, and no running backs. And they're 15-1. And I think I love it when they give it to these other guys. And Mahomes consistently, and he didn't even make Pro Bowl. I love that. I love that. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to fire him up more.
He's coming out like a fire-breathing dragon on that. Yeah, right. It's going to be ridiculous, Bill. You're right.
And it's ridiculous that he, just my opinion. But anyway, but going back to this, so they're asking this group to now get us to a point in the next 5 years to be average and to beat these other guys. Well, the question is, how? How? Because you have to put names out there to say, can they beat these figures? And what has to happen is you have to have a quarterback. In the past, have there been offshoot quarterbacks or people that have come up that kind of surprised things? You betcha. But it's never held on for long. And you get guys like Marino that never went or never won one. He did go. But nonetheless, I don't see this for the next 10 years. And if you look at the Cowboys, they have Prescott. And you look at the Steelers, which is a well-run organization. Prescott, the Cowboys have not won a Super Bowl in almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Steelers, it's 15. And you're going to tell me that this team, where they sit right now, unless they tank and they go get a young quarterback that has the ability, I don't see it happening for the next 15 to 20 years. And believe me, I understand this. I was a Chiefs fan when they went to two of the first four Super Bowls, and I thought, this is what happens every year. I get it. They didn't go for 50 until they got Mahomes. And so I don't see how they're going to do it. I'd like to see a plan, but these aren't the guys to do it. But, hey, I accept your thoughts, as I always do, Dan. Have a good day.
You as well, Bill. And here's the thing. If we lay this all out on paper, folks, and Bill makes a hell of a point on paper, and that's the only argument that I have, is just that those simple two words that follow all those statements, on paper. I want nothing more than to just make the playoffs. Because if I make the playoffs, I got a shot. And that's where it sits. If I make the playoffs, I got a shot. The Houston Texans were ahead of schedule. Everybody thought that the Houston Texans were going to be this dynasty. They had CJ Stroud. They had Bobby Slowick, who decided to come back for another year. They went and traded for Stephon Diggs. What's happened? The offense has taken a full step back. The defense has taken a step up for them. But they're going to find their way into a playoff series, and they're going to be in rough shape. Because the evolution, the sophomore slump, ended up hitting. And the evolution isn't where it was to be. I can't make an argument for the Cleveland Browns. Of, all right, you're going to go up against Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, any of these guys down the line from there, and give you a tangible plan forward that's going to look better. Outside of saying, I'm going to build that defense to continue to execute Jim Schwartz's schemes and ideas at a high level. I'm going to try to get younger. I'm going to try to get faster. Because if the one thing that stood out to everybody in 2023 with that defense was the speed on the field. Remember that? We all saw this defense in 2023, and the exact thing that we had was, damn, that's fast. Damn, they look fast. I need to get back to that realm where I have that speed on the field. And so I'm going to go into the draft. I'm going to go into free agency. I'm going to do all those things, and that's my plan. Is we're going to beef that defense, and the goal is to put the offense in a position where it is good enough to supplement the defense. I am not saying top five. I am not saying top eight. I am not saying that you are going to be able to walk into a game and look at the fire-breathing dragon on the other side. That is Joe Burrow, or that is Lamar Jackson, or that is Patrick Mahomes, or that is Josh Allen, or even Herbert if you prefer. I am not going to say you're going to walk into that battle and be able to win the quarterback side of it. But I think there is a path where you can build a defense that comes with it. And you can build up a defense, and you can build up a skill position to make it work. If you need proof, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles at quarterback, running a smart offensive system with a really good defense that was fast enough to do it. I know that's not the sexiest plan that I could put forth. But I think it's the best plan with what's happening right now. If you could get this offense to be top 10. I'm watching Sam Darnold succeed in with the Vikings. I don't think Sam Darnold is an all-world quarterback. I don't think you think Sam Darnold is an all-world quarterback. But if I can find some way where I could put a quarterback in there who can run a top 10 offense to go with a defense that is fast and can cover a lot of aspects, I think that's your plan right there. And then you get into these games against those fire-breathing Dragons and you go, all right, let's see if we could turn this thing into 17-10. Let's see if we could turn this thing into 21-17. Let's see if we could go this route and we can make their lives really crummy. You did it to Mahomes. You had pass rushers all over the place. If they didn't have short fields, who knows what that game looks like? To me, that is a path that works and is more efficient than going, well, I don't have a quarterback, so I may as well just not try. Oh, well. Like, at least that's something. And it's a plan that I can point to and say, all right, this is the direction I can go to make this work. Mike at Streetsboro, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm well, buddy. How are you?
Good, yeah. I agree with everything you said. I think the other thing is, like, you got to get rid of Ken Dorsey. This pass happy offense is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. There needs to be some balance. And if we're going to live in the cover two world, you got to be able to run the ball and make them pay for having those two safeties deep.
And then maybe we should go get Scataboom or something.
Dude, that kid was impressive, wasn't he? It was like watching peak Mike Allstott. It was unbelievable.
Right. He took over the game, dude. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, he was on a different planet, Mike. I appreciate the call. Thank you. And maybe that's an answer, too, is maybe you go get yourself a bell cow running back. Maybe you go get yourself somebody that you can look at. Boy, that was like watching Mike Allstott back in the day. Just this big old dude bowling people over. Fred Taylor was kind of like that, too. Just a big old dude bowling people over so many different directions. I don't know. I'm in for that one, man. I'm in for that one as well, because a good running game helps your quarterback out more than you'll ever know. Richie Cleveland, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Dan. Thanks.
Richie, how are you, my friend?
Really, really good. Slipping and sliding on the roads here, but being able to listen to your awesome radio program.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
You know, looking at it big picture-wise, I'm thankful we got a good baseball team. We got a really, really good basketball team.
Yep.
Ohio State seems to be pretty good every year. And if you're jonesing to root for winning football in Cleveland, just root for Ohio State. Because I don't think the Browns are ever going to get it together. Now we're staring down yet another rebuilding program. You know, it's just going to continue. The names will change, but the storylines will remain the same. You know, we're going to go through more quarterbacks that aren't going to work out for whatever reason. We're going to go through more high draft picks that didn't quite stack up like we thought. We're going to go through more coaches. We're going to go through more front offices. The Browns have reached critical mass. They exist in the NFL now as a punching bag for the prestigious teams to have somebody to beat up on. And if you're not good enough to get a job on a legitimate contending team and you need a job in the NFL, you come to Cleveland and do your time in Cleveland Browns football jail and tell yourself, well, at least I'm making way more money than the average working stiff.
I can't live in that world, Richie. I can't do it.
Well, I can't do it.
Maybe I'm just stepping on the rake like the Three Stooges, man, but I can't do it. I can't live in that world.
Root for Ohio State. The truth will set you free, man. You will never live this. The Cleveland Browns are 10,000 years away from a Super Bowl. It will never happen, man. It ain't going to happen. You know, you can try and fool yourself and say, oh, yeah, if we just could just get a couple guys in here and get this thing turned around and head in the right direction, if we just had a little bit better quarterback play, every losing team tells themselves the same thing. It ain't going to – I appreciate your passion for the game. I really do, but – At this point, man, you're just beating yourself up, man.
All right, Richie, better odds. I get Plant Page and John Paul Jones back on a stage together with Jason Bonham playing drums, or the Browns win a Super Bowl. That's what I want. What are my odds? Because if I'm higher than Plant Page and Jason Bonham back on and John Paul Jones back on a stage playing Led Zeppelin together, I'm going to continue to live that life. If I hit that level, I'm out. Dan Madigan in for Baskin and Phelps, Mary Kay Cabot coming up next, 92 The Fan.
head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.